determine, you know. And if that is the situation, or it would provide a benefit to someone who is familial to you, a wife, a son, a daughter, a brother, those are things that need to be brought to my attention so I can then help you, guide you through whether you have a conflict and what to do about it. And I'm going to tell you that at the end of this discussion about conflicts. The lost part throws people until I explain it this way. If the vote in front of you would prevent you from incurring a significant loss in property value, you're equally conflicted, right? So if the idea is, if I don't vote in a certain way on this thing, my house is going to lose, you know, value because I don't want a pig farm next door to me, that is a problem. Because I live next door and this vote is going to matter, and if I don't vote against it, my pocketbook is going to affect it in the negative way. That's the loss part, and it's in a way that won't affect everybody else because I'm the one who's going to live next door to it. That's a conflict. Not because it puts money in your pocket. It keeps you from losing money out of your pocket. So that's the context in which the statute means special, private, gain, or loss. Now, special and private, what do those two words mean? All of these words have meaning. It means that it's not the same loss that would be suffered by everybody else in the community. Like if, for example, and I make up something that doesn't even have the potential, I think, to exist in Ponce, like a topless bar, adult entertainment establishment, okay? All the community might be the poorer socially, morally, whatever, if that were to pop up in Ponce and so forth. But that doesn't mean you're conflicted from voting about it because you have the same loss, if you want to call it that, or injury that would be everybody else in the community. It's not special to just you. It's everybody else. So special and private means that it's applying to you or a very small subset of yous in the HOA. I'll explain that in a second. But it's not if it's like a community-wide loss. That's not a conflict. Well, I could, you know, if we vote on this school, then my kid could go there. I know that's not a big issue here, but as an example, this actually came up in one of the communities I represent. Well, my kid wants to go there, and so I want this to be the biggest school ever, and I want to improve all these things. Is that a conflict? Turns out, no, because it's not special and private. I know this because we actually had to seek an opinion to be sure. It was perfectly fine for this person to vote for these things that made the school bigger and better, in his opinion, to service his children, because he was just one of many. However, there's a numerosity rule. Here's what that rule is. Let's suppose you're in an HOA, and I don't know how many there are here. I know there are some. And you are 100 units or less in the HOA. They have what's called the 10% rule. If you are 100 units or less, then you're being affected by something that would impact the homeowners is sufficient under the standard, the numerosity standard, for you to have an actual conflict. But if you're in 101, you're less than 1%, and therefore, you don't have a conflict. And if you want me to try to make sense out of that, I'm sorry, I can't, but that's the law. So it does matter. Numbers matter. So if you're in a 56 homeowners association and you're going to have an adverse effect, that's enough, because you're not 1% or less than 1%. You're more than 1%. But if you're in an association of 110 homes, you don't have a conflict. Now, I want to tie all this together to what should you do if you think you might have a conflict. Well, first, you should obviously review every agenda to make sure that nothing on there is familiar enough to cause you heartburn. But if you do, there is a number. I don't have it on me. It may be in here. In fact, it probably is, because I think I usually put it in the materials. But it's the Florida Commission on Ethics hotline. And what it does is it allows you to call that number as a commissioner, whether it's a council member, a member of the planning board, or whatever, but it's for you personally. You don't get to call about the conduct of Mr. Cannon. Mr. Cannon doesn't call about the conduct of Mr. Carney. You only get to call about your own conduct, okay? It's because it's not supposed to be used as a weapon or to be weaponized one against another. But you call that department and you say, here's the vote that's coming up. You disclose all of the facts to them, and they will give you an opinion almost always over the phone. Sometimes they will say it's complicated and we need to get it in writing and go before the whole board and so forth. And whatever that opinion is, if you follow it, they will stand behind it. So if they say it's okay for you to vote, you vote. Even if it feels weird to you, even if you would prefer not to because it smells bad or whatever, you can still vote because they will stand behind it. In this way, I always make the distinction, they are the anti-IRS. If you don't know this, the IRS stands behind literally nothing. You could call them today and say, can I use this deduction? And they could tell you absolutely, and then you use this deduction, and then you get audited, and they say, this is an illegal deduction. But the guy on the IRS said, too bad, buddy. But the FCE is not like that. The Commission on Ethics says right in their rules, if you get an opinion for us, that's a defense to any claim against later against you that you violated the ethics code. And that's important because I frequently am the first line of defense. Someone will call me and say, what do I think? But I never end that conversation with just what I think, even though after having done this for a very long time, I'm pretty sure I know the answers, like 90%+ of the time. But I'm not a defense to you, but they are. So I will tell you, notwithstanding my own opinion, call the Commission on Ethics anyway. Get them to tell you what I told you, and that's a defense. Or if they tell you something different, listen to them. That's the important thing for you to understand about that stuff. Now, I can cover a lot of other stuff. It's 3:06. I got time for you to ask questions if you want, Mr. Carney, because I know you got to leave at 3:15. But those are the things that you probably need to know more than anything else. That doesn't mean ignore everything in here. It just means that if you can get past more than a couple of pages without falling asleep, God bless you. I can't, and I wrote it. So that's what I think you should know to keep yourself out of trouble and do the job that you volunteered to come here to do and not have to worry about, oh, am I screwing up? If you can remember those things, you're going to be okay.
Question? Months ago, if not over a year ago, something came before this board. It actually was a sidewalk expansion project. I'm a resident that's impacted by that, and other residents communicate with me. Should all of that be documented and provided?
Communication, it depends on the form for a public record standpoint, okay? And if it's quasi-judicial and it's coming before you as opposed to legislative, then you have to disclose those communications. That's something I should have said. In a quasi-judicial hearing, in addition, the quasi part indicates that it's not exactly like a judicial hearing, but it's close. One of the things that Florida allows is if you've talked to a developer, say, before the project comes up for a vote, or citizens opposed or favor of it, as long as you disclose who the communication was with, the nature of the communication, and that, you know, when it occurred roughly, doesn't have to be down to the date and time, before the vote takes place, and ideally should be before you get into the more substance of the hearing, it should be like one of the first things you do for the hearing, then you're okay. And the reason is because what are we trying to prevent but also facilitate allowing ex-party communication? Well, on the facilitation side, if you had to rely on only what's presented to you, that means you couldn't have gone to physically visit the site because you're making evidence. You couldn't have read the emails that citizens may send you or a developer may send you, or you couldn't meet with a developer because that's ex parte. I mean, you could choose not to, but you could legally not do it at all if ex parte communication wasn't permitted. So that's the reason why you might want to engage in some, or might not be even attempting to, but because people corner you. You know, you go to a cocktail party and your neighbor says, hey, I really hate this idea, blah, 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 and you get an earful and you can't really get away from it, but you just need to disclose it. And why is the disclosure so critical? Because if I'm the applicant or if I'm the opponent, either way, I need to know before you decide what may be influencing your decision. So, for example, if a citizen came up to you and said, this is going to be traffic up the wazoo, and it's going to be terrible, and we got to do something about it, and you can't be in favor of this, and I know it's about traffic, if I'm the applicant and you tell me that a citizen was very concerned about traffic, I now know that during my presentation I need to explain to you why I think that's incorrect. But if I don't know you had that discussion, I don't even know to have, I don't have the opportunity to rebut those opinions. Similarly, if the developer is talking to you on the side, and I don't mean in a bad way, because they often want to talk to the decision makers and say, let me explain our project, let me tell you what we're trying to do, blah, 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 all that stuff. You don't have to talk to them, but if you choose to, you need to disclose it. So if I'm out in the audience and I'm an opponent, and they say, well, this thing meets this, that, and the other thing, and what that's based on, I need to know so I can come to the podium and go, well, let me tell you all the reasons that the developer is full of crap. Here's why that's wrong. So the disclosure is so not so you can unburden your conscience, it's so the people who are on either side of the issue have the opportunity to figure out, oh, wait a minute. Well, he probably has the wrong impression, or she may have the wrong idea about this. Let me at least give her my view. Let me give him my view. And so that's why the disclosure is critical. A lot of boards make the mistake of saying in the disclosure, well, I talked to so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. Well, that doesn't tell me anything. What did you talk about? That's what I need to know. I need to know what it is that I might have to rebut if I think is wrong. So I need to know the topic. I need to know essentially the substance. It doesn't have to be great detail, but I talked to Mr. So-and-so about traffic. He thinks it's going to be bad. Okay, that's enough. Now I know you talked to someone about traffic and I can address it. I think it's going to create unsafe conditions for school children. Okay, now I know I got something to address. Or whatever it is. So that's the purpose of the disclosure rule. And it has to be done before the decision, ideally at the beginning of the hearing, so that the applicant can have the opportunity or the opposition can have the opportunity to rebut that information. And if you don't tell them, they don't even know you got it. Okay? So that's whether that's oral communication, emails that are sent to you, other materials that might be sent to you, all of those materials. And by the way, all those materials, if they're written materials, would be public record, turn them to the clerk. Okay? So that's the answer to that one.
Okay.
Any more questions about anything?
Very helpful.
Whatever. We're good?
Everybody good? Thank you.
Right. Yes, sir.
Darren, just a quick question. We had a discussion months ago, I lose track of time, about planning, looking into more of the permitting processes and trying to work on streamlining some of them.
Correct.
Any progress there?
We've looked at some different things. We think there are some things that we can streamline. Patty, do you remember, was there anything else we could disclose? Yeah.
Okay. All right. So it hasn't fallen between the cracks.
No.
Okay.
There were some concerns, I think, with the special event permitting package.
That was one that seemed to be a significant amount of redundancy.
I think we need to discuss that with Jackie some more.
Okay. All right.
We'd be happy if you want to come meet with staff anytime to discuss that.
That's the best form.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Yep.
I think the most imminent one is the thing that's happening Thursday night, right?
That's the adaption plan meeting at 5:30.
Any other discussion from the board? I guess I would move to adjourn the meeting.